It's TPXY on 98PXY, the number one hit music station. It's Corey James, Breezy, and Brennan Summers, the news at NBC. Brennan, good morning. We've got actually a few updates here on some pretty wild stories that have taken place recently in our area.
We do. A lot going on. And also to note, halfway through the year.
Look at that.
Oh.
Well, it's been it's been a pretty uneventful year thus far, so I can only imagine that it'll probably be just nice and quiet from here on out. I'm sure.
Yeah, I sent out a tweet this morning. We've only got like 80 something months to go in 2020. But listen, we could have rang in 2021 last night and would have been just fine.
What month, by the way, are you predicting the aliens come? Because I'm pegging that for like September. I think September.
Yeah. Yeah, whenever we turn, Labor Day weekend, start turning the page into the fall. Yeah, I think that's what we can pray for.
That's when the takeover begins.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right.
Brennan. Sidebar, your wife, Steph, just tweeted out a beautiful picture of Brooklyn, your baby, and I'm gushing, truly gushing. She's adorable.
So this
can't get over it.
This is the big news today that Daddy B Daycare is open for business.
She's headed back to work, right?
She goes back to work. And so, I'm trying to do some stuff here. My bosses have allowed me to work kind of the second half of my shift from home just to keep people out of the building. And it's, I'm going to do that. And then come around 11 or noon, it is me and baby Brooke. And we'll see how that goes.
Is there some trepidation there? Obviously, your wife, Steph, is usually always around. Have you had like alone time with your daughter? Do you think this is what happens for most dads. The beginning of that is going to start with this, you sitting there staring at each other being like, I don't know what to do.
Right.
Well, we stare and like try to make her laugh, and then all of a sudden starts crying, and mm-hmm. it's like, I just have no idea. I think I've been alone with her for an hour and a half, maybe.
Oh my God, her entire
life.
Like
her entire life?
Yeah.
Today should go great. Truly.
Just me. I think it's. Well, obviously, I mean, we've all been stuck at home with families anyway.
Right.
Which has been great. Us, just the three of us being at home, our little family. But Stephanie's been there, and now her leave is up, and it's sink or swim.
Here's some.
Okay. Just hope you don't sink.
A little word of warning for you. Be ready to be exhausted.
Yeah, even more so after my alarm goes off at 2:50.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, this is what you need for sure.
Wow.
Well, excited to hear the report back on how that turns out.
That's the most exciting news that I'm looking forward to tomorrow before we jet off on our 3-day weekend. But let's get to the real news right now. I am rattled right now about the fact that gyms are planning to sue the state over the reopening.
That's where you want to start.
I want to start. That's the biggest headline.
There was a 24-hour stand-up.
Oh, pish posh, Brennan. Yesterday. Let's hit the gyms.
Okay, I will address the gyms, even though we do have some chaotic stories we do have some updates.
There's that, and then there's the tractor trailer update. Those two stories are insane. This just goes to show where Breezy's head is at. Everything revolves around the gym reopening, but fine, whatever. Go ahead with the lawsuit.
Well, we'll hit this real quick, and then we'll go on. So there are gyms across New York that are banding together, taking part in this class action lawsuit against New York State. Of course, they are some of the most frustrated people, thinking they were going to start on the opening day of phase four in our region, hasn't happened. And, the governor's team has raised concerns about air conditioning inside gyms, just like they have with malls, where they're saying you need special filters to keep COVID out and to sort it out. But gym owners are arguing, we're just like any other business that is open, so why are you singling us out? And they plan to file the case later this week. Cuomo's team says they don't comment on lawsuits that haven't been filed just yet, but they say that they are studying the aspect of gyms and what to do. And they also point to putting the blame on other states, open recklessly is the word, and reopening. But, so that's the status update, at least for really that's the only thing reopening-wise that people are talking about right now as we wait for the other big news, which will come in later this month, a decision on schools this fall.
God, all right. Now let's get to the big story. So, Brennan, there was a cat stuck in a tree in Pittsburgh.
Around that bear that we've seen rolling around the Finger Lakes and Gates, too.
Let's go to Penfield first.
This time yesterday, we were talking about a standoff that at that point had been going on for about 15 or 16 hours in Penfield off 250 at this home. So it finally ended about 24 hours after it started. So yesterday afternoon, there was a man who was holed up at that house the whole time. Deputies were there trying to speak with him. They say he threatened them at one point, even threw a Molotov cocktail. So he's being evaluated now at the hospital, and we've learned a little bit more about who this guy is. Deputies say it's Benjamin Smith. They say the 51-year-old has a long criminal record and that he violated his parole with what happened. Again, that standoff started Monday afternoon about 4 when they say he threatened his parole officer and then barricaded himself inside the home and then threatened to harm himself and also caused damage with the Molotov cocktail on his property. But they say he didn't cooperate for some time and finally came out and surrendered. So they'll be announcing, we expect, several charges to come down.
Yeah, he just kind of came out randomly, right? Do you think he had planned to be in there for 24 hours? Like, oh, well, my time's up. I guess I better go and surrender.
We, unfortunately, you know, we do cover standoff situations like this. And the view from a lot of times with law enforcement, depending on who they're involved with, is that they've got all day. They can hang out there and just wait and
sure.
wait it out.
Bring
and,
a new shift, new officers coming through, yeah.
So wild.
Yeah, and what they wanted with, I know that this guy has a past, but they wanted to just end it peacefully, which is mm-hmm. how it ended up ending. They weren't sure what he was going to do, not just to others, and I know it caused a lot of concerns for neighbors, but for the suspect himself who was there. And that's what they were the most concerned about. They did know that he may have had something to do with Molotov cocktails, and that mm-hmm. might cause fire the property or burn something down, so the fire department was out there. But, yeah, it finally ended, and that was a long one. I mean, you're talking all afternoon, overnight, and into the next afternoon.
Goodness. And it was important, too. The sheriffs did point out that, they saw this as a mental health issue as well, and they did have mental health experts on the scene along with the officers.
A big change that people have been pushing for is when someone's going through a mental health crisis or a mental health episode, having someone on scene that's trained to handle and not escalate the situation can make or break that situation.
Yeah, they refer to these as a phrase that I've heard recently in past couple of years from law enforcement, mental hygiene cases, and that is it's taking care of someone. And a lot of times, they've had a run-in with this person in the past, and so they know some of the tendencies, and they just want to work it out, because it's not just about bringing someone into custody or charging them. It's getting them help, getting them in the right system, and finding improvements that way, and whatever, any standoff or any situation that they go to where someone is disturbed or having trouble, they just want to resolve it peacefully. And again, this one did with no major injuries to anybody.
Yeah, thank goodness. Brennan Summers, who's at NBC, on with us right now. Brennan, the other update we have, this story, was this last month? The wild tractor trailer driver chase in Geneseo, there was a shootout. This was like out of a movie.
Yeah, it was wild because it covered so many counties. So let's see, now that we're in July, so back at the end of May on the 27th when this happened, and this is a tractor-trailer driver killed during a shootout that started in Leroy and ended in Geneseo. Investigators say he was planning a terror attack on a bigger scale. And we got that news from the Livingston County Sheriff yesterday. Now, this guy's name was 58-year-old Joshua Blessed, who they say fired at law enforcement at least 29 times. Police and deputies fired back more than 100 times at him. And because, it wasn't a high-speed chase. It was slow speed, but he's driving a semi like on 390 through Geneseo, covering all these different areas. So it lasted a while, and he rammed into police cars, was firing at them from the cab. And now he died after deputies fired at the driver in the semi and crashed into a ditch. And as I mentioned, that they do think he was planning a bigger attack. They don't believe that that was here. And he was originally from Virginia. The FBI searched that home. They found pipe bombs, 3 rifles, $158,000 in cash, and instructions on how to build explosives, IED.
Wow.
So that was, considering everything, it was just, you think about what was foiled and what could have been, but it
sure.
won't happen now.
And we have our answer of why he ran, because at first it was just very unclear. Why did this truck driver
super suspicious.
Run? But now we have a little, an end to that story at least.
Yeah, and if you go back in, if you want to learn more, on our website, WOTC.com, like we did a profile on him because we started digging in, and there were strange YouTube videos
mm-hmm.
that he was out for cops. At one point, he was posing in a law enforcement uniform as well. It was just disturbing videos to see leading to that. And then now we got the much clearer picture about what was in the works and what deputies had feared all along.
Right. Absolutely. Wow. Yikes. Crazy stuff. Crazy world we're living in, truly. But the absentee ballots, let's talk about that. They're beginning to count them today, actually.
Yeah, so this is, we had primary day last week, and last Tuesday was voting day, and that was also the last day due to everything with COVID that got extended that you could have put your absentee ballots in the mail, and everybody could do that this year just for safety reasons. So they'll start counting them today, and this is, it's going to take some time. So, I mean, we're looking like 2 weeks after primary day that we could know some of the results. And one of the biggest ones is the 27th. That district covers just about all of Western New York and the left half of our area on the map. Republican Chris Jacobs says he won that race. He declared that on primary day night. It's the one that Republican Chris Collins, who's off to prison for insider trading, used to hold in Washington. But Nate McMurray, the Democrat, refuses to concede. So we'll see how the ballots shape out there. And then, again, we're looking at those two running against each other for the general election in November, too. But there are a lot of local races that we'll be watching. And, yeah, they're going to open the ballots today. There's a whole system they have in place. And there are tens of thousands that they've got to count.
I don't know if you know this or not. Maybe. Has there been a situation where absentee ballots ended up being the deciding factor?
Yeah, so you have that in certain races, but the thing that's different this year is that it's just so many.
Right, yeah.
When you compare who voted in person, and it's really a real test of, like, compare it to, like, a poll. Like, you do, like, you survey 1,000 people in a community of 50,000. And it's kind of look at that ratio of, like, what's already been turned in versus what is still outstanding. Monroe County got 39,000 primary ballots. So absentee ballots, they've got to count, and more than 2,000 for the special election. And that number is even bigger. If we're talking about McMurray and Jacob, that 27th congressional seat. There were 75,000 already mailed in to that district, and McMurray thinks there's about 95,000 still out there. And you count those versus the difference between them right now, which is about 32,000. So easily it could swing either way in theory, but it just depends on how much it's weighted for the Republic.
Right. All right. Something to keep an eye on, certainly. Earlier, you told us that we should have an idea of what's going to be happening with schools by the end of the month here. But when it comes to fall sports, we're going to have a decision earlier. Actually, later this week, it looks like we'll be getting a decision on fall sports, which is interesting if we're not sure what's happening with schools, but we can make decisions on fall sports.
Yeah, what? Yeah, that doesn't make any
sense.
That
comes back to decision like, can you have games and practices if you're keeping kids off campus? And it's balancing that, but also trying to give these kids the opportunity to do something if it is safe.
Sure.
And you get them to college on this as well. So that will come from the State Public High School Athletic Association. So considering all options on the table, ask for everything. They've got a task force, and these proposals and plans will depend on schools having in-person learning, whether that's probably not every kid 5 days a week if they're looking at a rotating scale or something like that. But they do want guidelines from the governor as well. Fall sports, the calendar for New York, is still August 24th. Around that week is when it would come up. But I should note that next week is when, I believe it's the 6th, is that's when certain sports can start practicing and kids can get together that are allowed with different guidelines here, like baseball, lacrosse, non-contact things. That was part of the phase 4 reopening, the guidelines that we got. So I'm driving around. I'm seeing, there are some people out at parks doing different things, and as kids wait for class, they're also trying to revamp, stay in shape, and get ready for sports, too.
Sure. Makes sense. All right. Brennan Summers, the news at NBC. Any other headlines we should know about this morning?
I will say, please wear a mask.
There we go.
There was a new study out from researchers in Florida at a university. They looked at the best type. Again, if you have anything on, that's better than nothing. But the best was like the ones you can make at home that are at least two layers of a fabric that's woven together that can keep the particles from spreading to like 3 or 4 inches. So one of the worst, though, a common thing, and it's what people have at home, is a bandana.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just because it's so thin that the difference is now like you're spreading it like 3 feet. But again, if that's all you have, please wear it. Please have it, because not wearing anything, you could be spreading germs and COVID, 6 to 8 feet away from you.
And if Brennan's urging doesn't convince you to wear a mask, maybe Tom Hanks, his urging will. Did you see what Tom Hanks said?
I did. And that's just like, we see so many celebrities coming in and doing this. And it's even like lawmakers on both sides as well, too, coming out and putting on the mask. And you got to remember, Tom Hanks was one of the first He may have been the first high-profile celebrity that we knew that had it. He and his wife when they were on a shoot in Australia.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Yeah, he his exact quote was something along the lines of, don't be a P-word. Get on with it. Do your part. It's very basic. If you're driving a car, you don't go too fast, and you use your turn signal, and you avoid hitting pedestrians. My Lord, it's common sense.
Yeah, yeah. Let's make the second half of this year much better than the first.
Yes, that's something that I think we all would like to happen for sure. Brennan Summers from News at NBC, always a pleasure. Can't wait to get the Daddy Daycare update tomorrow on how it went solo, your first solo adventure.
Prayers at about noon today.
All right, man, best of luck.
All right, see ya.
Later.